Uh-oh, did I screw that up? Hold on. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, How to Make Emails That Get Maximum Results. My name is Eliana Raggio, and I'll be your moderator today. And today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. And for anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency. We're best known for our amazing SEO, the absolute best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the brand new Chameleon Responsive Website Platform. We're so committed to lead conversion, optimization, and customer service that Dealer On is still the only company in the industry that offers a money-back lead guarantee program. So does your website company guarantee you a 50% lift in leads or your money back? Well, maybe you should check us out at our gorgeous brand new Dealer On website at DealerOn.com. And we have a great show in store for you today. We're very pleased to have Justin Brunn and Ben Kohler as our presenters today. Justin Brunn and Ben Kohler are responsible for Acton Toyota's website and marketing campaigns. Together, the two formed and manage Dynamic Beacon, a dealer-to-dealer digital marketing agency providing web creative services, email marketing, search engine marketing, and reputation management. With over 20 years of combined dealership experience, Justin and Ben are passionate about delivering unparalleled digital marketing solutions that produce increased sales and business growth for dealers. Justin believes good marketing is key to telling the dealership story and leveraging its overall brand position. He takes great pride in being able to take a project from a simple vision and develop it into a comprehensive program. Ben considers it a privilege to have helped Acton Toyota build one of the most successful internet operations in the United States, and he's extremely eager to assist dealerships improve their online marketing initiatives to increase their bottom line. They can be reached at justin.brunn@dynamicbeacon.com and ben.kohler@dynamicbeacon.com. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond to you by email later today. Also, don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will be emailed to you later today for your reference. Please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. Ooh, and guess what? Woo, our good friends at Dynamic Beacon are giving away an amazing prize today on the webinar. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win a 42-millimeter Apple Watch Sport in space gray. Woo! This beautifully constructed compact smartwatch comes with solid fitness software, hundreds of apps, the ability to send and receive calls via an iPhone, and so much more. The Apple Watch is the hottest wearable tech device on the market, and it's valued at $399. And I am so jealous. I want one. I can't win it, but you know what? You can. This is an awesome prize. You have to be on the live broadcast to win it, though, so stay tuned, and you could be the one winning this amazing prize today. Also, at the conclusion of the webinar, you're going to receive a short survey. So fill it out, because we're always looking for quality feedback from our audience. Today, we're going to randomly select a couple of people from all the completed surveys to also win some Google prizes. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation. So hey, tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up Dynamic Beacon at Dynamic Beacon. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. So let's get started. Let's learn how to make emails that get maximum results. Justin and Ben, such a pleasure to have you back on the show. I love having you guys on here. How are you?
We're doing very well, Eliana. Thanks for asking, and thanks for having us back on the Dealer On webinar series. We're really happy to be here.
I am honored. Thank you, because you guys are the only ones in the space that are really hitting it hard and talking about how to make great emails and how to make your email marketing campaigns really, really work for dealers. And we really appreciate the information you're going to share. And I know you have a lot to get to today. And audience, if you want to check out the slide deck, we have it listed already in the handouts section. But stay tuned, because you're in for some great information. Justin, Ben, why don't you guys tell everyone the kinds of things we're going to be learning about today?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thank you so much, Eliana. So first, with the agenda here, we're going to start looking at responsive design. So using responsive design for our emails are going to ensure that they render great regardless of whether it's a desktop, a tablet, or a smartphone that individual is viewing the email on. Second, we're going to look at how we can ensure our emails that we're sending are personalized and relevant so they don't find their way to the trash. Third, we'll be looking then at ensuring that the emails are clear and concise, so really focusing on delivering that message to an individual who we know has a really short attention span.
We'll then move on and share with you some email inspiration that we found throughout the web that we'd like to showcase here today. We'll then follow it up with the Apple Watch and how that's affecting today's email and years ahead. We'll then follow up with some takeaways and a Q&A session. So, you know, why are we here today, and why is email important? And, you know, eMarketer here in this recent study cited that in April of 2015, eMarketer survey indicated that email alone accounted for as much in revenues as all other types of digital advertising combined. And, you know, why mobile and why talking about smartphones? Because according to Blue Hornet, 67% of consumers own and use a mobile device to check email.
And so we really want to put forth the idea, especially considering that 53% of all email opens occur on mobile devices. This is stat coming from Emma, a leading email marketing company. We really want to put forth the idea that that smartphone you have, really it's not a phone. It's actually a mobile inbox with a phone app. And so kind of with that, then we're going to go ahead and jump right into the responsive design. And so again, using a responsive design is going to ensure that regardless of what device that email is viewed on, it's going to render very well and be a great experience then for that email recipient. And we'll start first here. This is a statistic then from Blue Hornet that cites 42% of folks are going to delete your email when they do not display correctly on mobile. So think about that. Nearly half of your email recipients, if your email does not render as it should on mobile, are just going to go ahead and send that to the trash can. And that's precisely what happened with this email here that we're looking at. So a little while back, Justin and I, we did some dealership secret shopping, receiving a number of different emails from dealerships. And this is one of those emails we received on mobile where, you know what, it's finding its way to the trash can. On the full desktop site, you've got a nice clear header image that's there. But when we're looking at it then on smartphone, it's completely empty. There's nothing there. We're immediately deleting that email. And so really one thing we want to emphasize here is we're sure this dealership, when looking at this email, when seeing how it rendered, they were doing so on desktop, but clearly not doing so then on their smartphone. So when you're testing your emails before any sort of send to your customer base, please, please, please don't just test it on desktop, but also test it on a tablet, and especially test it on a smartphone. And kind of with that, then it leads us over to our first poll question. Eliana?
That's right, audience. Our very first poll question is on the screen now. We actually have 4 poll questions today. So we're going to be very active today, and we're looking for your input. Please, if you can, vote in this poll question. We'd love to know what's going on at your dealership. So the question is, how often do you view your test email campaigns on your smartphone prior to sending it to your customer base? Please select one of the following answers. Is it always, and I'm offended you even had to ask, sometimes, but I should be doing it more often, I admit, never, and I feel pretty embarrassed right now, or I don't even have a smartphone. Whatever the answer is, we want to know. So how often do you view your test email campaigns on your smartphone before you send it out to your customer base? Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results. And remember to stick around. We're going to have another 3 poll questions coming your way in pretty short order, and we want to know what's going on at all of your dealerships. All right, audience, thank you so much. Almost everyone's voted now. We really appreciate your votes. Oh, votes are still coming in. So I'll give you another couple seconds, then we'll close this poll and share the results. Justin and Ben, are you ready for this?
Absolutely.
All right, a lot of people voted. A lot of people voted. So let's see. 33%, so a third of today's audience, said always, and I'm offended you'd even ask. But the majority, 51%, so just over half, said sometimes, but I should be doing it more often. And then the remainder of today's audience, 16%, admit they never have tested their email campaigns on their smartphones. And Justin and Ben, is that what you were expecting?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if we necessarily had any sort of exact expectations. It's great that a third of these folks do it at all times, and yeah, are offended that we'd even be asking here. that 50%, I guess it's probably pretty common. I think that the majority of times, yes, you know, at times we do think to look, but other times maybe we're in a rush. There's a million and one other things on our to-do list, and getting an email campaign is just one of those things we want to get done and check that box. And so really ensuring that you take the time to go ahead and ensure that you are looking at it each and every time on all devices, especially smartphones. So, yeah.
Sounds like sound advice. Okay, please keep going. This is great.
All right, great. So kind of moving on then. So, we understand and can appreciate the fact that building responsive emails isn't necessarily all that easy there at the dealership, especially if you don't have someone on staff with that sort of HTML expertise. But there's plenty of resources that are out there and available to you so that you can do this yourself. We've listed a couple of resources there on the left. First, Litmus, and in just a moment, Justin will be sharing with us a tool from Litmus that we use and really like. Second, Email on Acid. On the right, actually, is a responsive email template they are offering for free, so they'll do that from time to time if you subscribe to their email. And then third, Emma, and we were citing a statistic early in the presentation from Emma. So these are three really great sources for email inspiration and also email responsive design. And continuing with the responsive design, we're really excited and have started using what's called a fluid hybrid design with all of our emails. And not trying to get too technical here, but fluid hybrid design replaces the need to use media queries for those responsive elements within your emails. Those media queries tell the mail client and the device just exactly how this email should render. But an issue with a lot of common dealership CRMs is that they remove those media queries, and as a result, the responsive component of your email can be compromised. A fluid hybrid design doesn't use media queries, so it can help ensure that regardless of what CRM you send from, that email is going to render great regardless of the device it's viewed on.
So a quick way to be able to spot check how your emails are rendering on any particular device or then any email client or browser is to use this Litmus tool. So you've heard us talk about Litmus. It's a pretty easy tool to use. Again, it allows you to really receive that experience as the user would within their particular email client. So you can see here that we're quickly able to see with one of these service reminder emails in Outlook 2013 what that email looks like, how it renders. We're also quickly able to toggle over and look within mobile and look at an iPhone 6 and see exactly how that email renders. So it's, again, important to experience it as the consumer and make sure that that experience is a great one each and every time. Within the Litmus email builder, we've been able to build emails like this one here. I want to make note here, the email on the left promoting the $179 a month lease for this Malibu. We have a big, beautiful call to action at the very top of that email. So, again, when customers are opening that email, we want them immediately to view all offers if they're not already scrolling down to view the other offers that are there in that particular email. And we think just as important as the email itself is to have a really compelling and mobile-friendly landing page with nice new car specials that render similar to this here you can see on the iPhone 6. So that's also extremely important when you're constructing your email campaigns to also make sure you have a really beautiful mobile-friendly landing page. And with this particular email campaign that we're sharing with you here, I just wanted to note that we'd received a 20% open rate and a 13% click-through rate. This particular email that we're sharing with you here is not one that we designed, but we received from a dealership. We were on their subscriber list, and they'd sent out this nice savings coupon. They're really trying to get you to either schedule service or click for all specials. Unfortunately, when we engaged with that email further, we found that the web page that they were delivering us to was dead. So it's really important, again, to test that email campaign, click through, and see what that website experience is like on your mobile phone. You know, your email is only half of the conversion equation. And if you're really curious about post-click activity with these email campaigns, it's extremely important to install Google UTM tracking codes. So it's really easy to create these codes and then install them within your emails. And then, of course, once consumers click through the email with these tracking codes, you can see the various goal completions that have taken place on your dealership website. So you're allowed up to 20 goals with each Google UA code on your website. Certainly should make use of those, anything from map and directions, search results page views, vehicle detail page views, whatever you deem a goal for that particular email campaign and or website activity. And so, Eliana, we're ready for our next poll question.
Oh, so am I. All right, audience, your second of four poll questions is on the screen now. Please let us know what's happening at your dealership. The question is, are you currently using UTM tracking codes to understand in Google Analytics what your email recipients are doing after they go to your website? Please select one of the following answers. Is it yes, and the metrics help me create better landing pages? Yes, but I admit I rarely look at the performance. Sometimes, but I should be doing it more often. No, as I didn't even know that was an option. Or no, but you know what? Maybe we should start. So, let's repeat that question for you while we're getting some more votes in. Are you currently using Google UTM tracking codes to understand in Google Analytics what your email recipients are doing after they go to your website? Yes, and the metrics help me do all kinds of awesomeness. Yes, but I don't even check the performance. I just do it. Sometimes, but I should be doing it more often. No, I didn't even know you could do that. And no, but you know what? Maybe we should start. Once we get a majority of the votes, oh, we have a majority of the votes in. Wowza. All right, audience, you guys are rocking today. I thank you so much for participating in our poll questions. They really, really help us out and give us a really nice overview of what's happening across the nation. So I'm going to close this one and share the results. Justin, Ben, you ready for this?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. 26% of today's audience said yes, and the metrics helped me create better landing pages. Hey, that's more than a quarter. I think that's great. 12% of today's audience said yes, but they admit they rarely look at the performance. Now, only 5% of today's audience said sometimes, but I should be doing it more often. Here's where we get the majority of the votes. 28% admit they say no, that they don't do it, that they really didn't even know that you could do that. And then the majority, 29%, said no, but they admit they'd like to start. Justin, Ben, does that help you out?
Yeah, it sure does. We're certainly not surprised as we look at the poll answers. This is, even outside of email marketing, constantly an issue, I think, for a lot of dealers, is tracking that post-click activity. And it's not something that a lot of the third-party providers provide as an option when they're setting you up with either email campaigns or even display campaigns. So certainly not surprised to see the answers as they are.
And audience, if you have any questions for today's dealer-owned presenters, Justin Brunn and Ben Kohler, hey, send those in. We are going to be holding all questions until the end of their formal presentation, but we're here and we're ready to help you with your email marketing campaigns. Justin, Ben, please take it away.
Okay. So as we were just kind of commenting on third-party providers and with respect to UTM tracking codes, we think it's really also extremely important to work with your third-party providers, whether it be a trade tool, a credit application, or in the case of this example, an online service scheduler, to make sure that these applications that you're paying for are mobile-friendly, and also to ensure that any email correspondence that's being sent out on behalf of your dealership is also mobile-friendly and follows the same characteristics that you've deemed to be successful throughout your other email marketing initiatives. So we're sharing with you here an email that we created for this Autoloop service scheduler. It's much different than what was served up to us initially that Autoloop was proposing to send out to the active Toyota customer base. So we found this to work extremely well to enroll customers and engage them with the new scheduler.
And so next we're going to transition over then to ensuring our emails are personalized and relevant. And we wanted to start here with this statistic from Campaigner. It notes that 82% of folks won't open a message from the sender they know if the information is not relevant to them. So, you know, oftentimes, you know, as we're looking at dealership emails and receive dealership broadcasts, oftentimes they're probably engaging in effectively what's a spray and pray type methodology with their send. So, you know, as a dealership, as a business, understand if you're sending an email, and even if these are folks that have purchased from you, they service with you, if that message isn't in some way relevant to them, it's finding its way to the trash can. 82% won't open a message from a sender they know if the information isn't relevant. And it's really because today people expect that the emails they receive are going to be personalized and are going to be relevant to them. And that's exactly what this statistic is sharing, that nearly 75% of folks expect personalization. And, I mean, if we think about it, ourselves with our own inbox, the type of email, correspondence, communication we receive from various businesses, companies that we subscribe to, those emails really are relevant, are personalized. So there's an expectation on everyone's part that that email is going to be relevant. And if it's not, it's going to find its way to the trash. And thinking then about ensuring that your email isn't sent to the trash can and instead opened, understand that folks are spending less than 3 to 4 seconds in determining whether or not they open your email. So as a result, then, both your subject line and your pre-header text are really compelling, are going to stand out, and motivate that email recipient to open the email. And so, you know, noting the subject line, I think there's been plenty said then about creating good subject lines to increase the likelihood of an open. Really what we want to focus then on is adding relevant and compelling pre-header text with a strong call to action to supplement that subject line and further increase the likelihood your email is open. And so pre-header text, we've kind of circled and drawn arrows on the left here with this iPhone example. The pre-header text is really the first 75 to 100 characters. Depends a bit on the device that an individual has. But it's those first characters of the body of an email that then appear after the subject line. So what you're able to do with the pre-header text, you've written some text above what is the header, hence pre-header. That copy is then going to present itself right after the subject line and effectively be an email preview. Gives you a great opportunity then to strengthen that subject line, further differentiate your email, and go ahead and get open.
I'm going to share with you a couple of examples here of subject lines and pre-header text that we've written. We really want to get you thinking about your own email content. So here we're looking at a service reminder email on a 45,000-mile intermediate service, and it's for a Camry vehicle. So the subject line, your Camry may be due for a 45,000-mile service. In that pre-header text, we write, does your Camry need a 45,000-mile intermediate service? If so, it's begging to visit our service center. Schedule service now. So, you know, again, the subject line and pre-header text is relevant and pertinent to the email itself, and we've also included that call to action within the pre-header text to have that individual schedule service now. The second example was a little bit different in a sense that we're trying to help this dealership gain Silverado trade-ins and have those folks upgrade and either lease or purchase a new Silverado from this particular dealership. So in the subject line, your Silverado is more valuable than you think. The pre-header text, we write, our need for your Silverado means you'll be pleasantly surprised by its value and the great deals on a new Chevy. Appraise it now. Again, note the subject and pre-header are absolutely relevant to the email itself and the email content, and we've also included that call to action to try to elicit a response from the customer. And Eliana, we're ready for our next poll question.
All right, third poll question coming your way right now. It's on the screen, and audience, you've been so great already. I hope you'll take part in this one as well. The question is, are you currently creating unique pre-header text to accompany and reinforce your subject line for your email campaigns? Please select one of the following answers. Yes, and I can see a real improvement in open rates. Yes, but unfortunately, I haven't seen my open rates increase. No, but I plan on starting to use them. Or, I have a hard time coming up with good subject lines. Wow, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people picked that one. So, the question is, are you currently creating unique pre-header text to accompany and reinforce your subject line for your email campaigns? The votes are coming in fast and strong, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much, audience, for being so amazing today. And also want to let you know, if you are tweeting out, don't forget, you can use hashtag DealerOnWebby and use at Dynamic Beacon to tag those guys, and I'm at Eliana Raggio. Love to hear what you have to say. All right. Votes are almost all in. Thank you so much, everyone. Justin, Ben, if you're ready, I will close this poll and we'll share the results.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it. All right. 24% of today's audience, so almost a quarter of today's audience, said yes, and I can see real improvement in my open rates. Only 12% of today's audience said yes, but unfortunately haven't seen my open rates increase. The majority, however, 43% of today's audience, admits that no, they don't do that, but they're planning on starting to use those. And 21% said that they have a hard enough time coming up with a good subject line. So, Justin and Ben, what do we do about this? I mean, it's obviously something that we need to work on. Are you about to tell us the right way to create unique pre-header text?
I don't know if it's the right way, but I'll tell you the way that we want to do it. Typically what we'll do is create the email first, and after having created the email, do we then actually create both the subject line and pre-header text? So I think we find it a bit easier after we've built the email, we have the email copy that we want, we know what message we're delivering. We can then go back and craft subject line and pre-header text. So we kind of work backwards in that way. It seems to work a bit easier for us. So I would suggest that to the folks who, you know, say they haven't been doing it but plan to start. Try creating it after you've already built your email. And for those folks that have a difficult enough time, trouble just coming up with a good subject line, I'd say certainly feel free to reach out to us. We're happy to try and offer some suggestions, some guidance toward creating better subject lines, and also consider subscribing to Litmus Email on Acid and Emma as well as a source to share with you ways in which to craft good subject lines and pre-header text as well, for that matter. All right. So I think we're going to go ahead and move on here.
So we want to really make sure that once you have that relevant pre-header text and subject line created, that your email body itself is clear and concise and to the point. And one of the things that we hate most are these unattractive walls of text, these intimidating, unattractive walls of text that are absolutely brutal to sift through on any mobile device. So I wanted to kind of share with you what we mean by a wall of text. This is an email that we had received from a dealership here in the Boston region, a Toyota store that we were secret shopping. We had received this email, read only a few lines, and then sent it to the trash can, but decided to remove it, dig it back up, and serve it for the purposes of this presentation. So we can see, you know, as you look at this, it's certainly not very compelling or engaging. There's no images in here. It's just, it's absolutely horrible.
It's an e-fail.
It's an e-fail. It's what we call an e-fail. It's important, really, to keep the email clear and concise, because according to Microsoft, humans have a shorter attention span than goldfish and only 8 seconds long.
Oh, jeez.
So it's important
Why are you going to bring the goldfish into this? Poor goldfish.
So important there, again, to have the nice blend and balance of imagery and copy throughout that email, and really get rid of those unattractive walls of text.
Yeah. Our apologies to any goldfish in attendance today.
Bravo.
Okay. And so kind of talking about that short attention span, one great way in which to capture one's attention is through the use of video, right? Especially it's dynamic. There's audio there, motion. Video is great. And actually, Wistia cites that they've seen click-through rates improve by more than 300% with the addition of a video in place of a regular graphic. And so what we're looking at here then are two email examples. So on the left, Acton Toyota, our dealership, this is the an email promoting the Real Zero Down lease, and you can see on the right there a video leasing email. Presents all the great reasons for leasing from our dealership, how those leases are different from the competition. And on the right, Stadium Toyota, another client of ours, they've got a nice video here for their digital retailing. So the ability for the customer, the car purchaser, to complete that purchase from home without having to visit the dealership. And so we can't tell you how often we're working with dealerships, communicating with dealerships. They tell us, we ask them, do you have video content? Okay, yes, we do. It's really nice video, especially Wi-Fi videos. But when we then ask, are these videos within your email, the answer, unfortunately, is no. And so you're really doing yourself a disservice if you're not including your video content in your email. And just further kind of strengthening that video, the importance of video.
So this is a study that we wanted to share with you from eMarketer, and shares that 40% of respondents even favored watching such content over reading the same information. So the consumption of video content is just continuing to grow and propel throughout the year. So why not leverage that video content here, kind of take it from, if it's either TV, video, pre-roll, or website, and bring it over to your email strategy.
Yeah. And so kind of with that, Eliana, it leads into our fourth poll question here.
Our last poll question. That's right. Audience, it's on the screen now. You've been so very generous with your poll question answers today. I hope you'll do the same for this last one. Do you have a Why Buy video? And is the video included within any emails that you send? Please select one of the following answers. Yes to both questions, and I'm loving every minute of it. Yes to the video, but I never thought of adding it to emails. No video yet, but you know what? It's something on our agenda for 2016, and I can't answer this poll. My attention span is 8 seconds. You must be a goldfish. All right, so once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close this poll and share the results, and wowza, you are going to be surprised by these results, I think. Woo. All right, audience, you guys are great. Thank you so much for digging in and checking out these poll questions with us. It's your last poll question of the day, then you can sit back and relax and just think about what the answer is for our giveaway question. But until then, let's get through this poll question together. Justin and Ben, wait till you see this. All right. Let's close this poll and share the results. Audience, thank you so much for your votes. Okay, only 3% of today's audience said yes to both questions, and I'm loving every minute of it. 12% of today's audience said yes to the video, but I never thought of adding it to the emails. But the overall, major majority, 69%, said no video yet, but you know what? That's something on our agenda for 2016. And 15% of today's audience are goldfish. So, Justin and Ben, is that what you have been seeing with a lot of the dealers that you're with, that they don't have a Why Buy video? Because I didn't realize so many people didn't have that right now.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what we're seeing within the dealerships that we speak with. I mean, we're clearly creating the value proposition or Why Buy message for that dealership, but for that store to then have a video to promote that Why Buy message, it's certainly pretty rare. So it's definitely something we'd recommend. Again, you can leverage it not just through television, pre-roll, and on your website, but also through your email content as well.
Wonderful. Well, I'll tell you what, audience, you've done a great job on the poll questions, and you know what? I am seeing a ton of great questions coming in for the Q&A session for Justin and Ben, so keep those questions rolling in. We are going to get to those not too far from now, I think. So thank you so much for the great questions, and Justin and Ben, let's keep going.
Hey, we wanted to share with you some email inspiration. We've been mainly looking up until this point at automotive emails, but oftentimes we find inspiration away from dealership emails. And the first example we wanted to share with you here is from this Autograph Collection Hotel, where, you know, this particular email does share quite a bit of content with the recipient, And it's really nice that the way that they share it is through these collapsible menus. So it's, you know, you're not, it's not like drinking out of a fire hose here when you open up the email and you're overwhelmed by content, you end up deleting it. You're able to kind of pick and choose which parts of the email you actually want to engage with that are relevant to you. This next email here from this home cleaning company, Handy, is pretty slick in the sense that it uses animated GIFs at the very top of the email, so it really does capture your attention. And again, the big, beautiful image, and then that call to action at the very top of the email. So it's pretty clear, pretty plain and clear what Handy wants you to do to reveal that offer, to click through to their website and engage further.
So next year we're looking at a Jeep email, and certainly that great nature scene or landscape hits you. It's a big, beautiful image, and then you've got the YouTube play button right there as well, and an additional CTA just beneath it then to watch the commercial. You can see good usage of text, not too terribly much text, but another area we really want to draw your attention then is to the subject line of this email. So one, Jeep news, hot off the grill, certainly kind of a play off that iconic Jeep grill, pretty clever we thought. And speaking of that iconic Jeep grill, you can see actually they included that image within the subject line. So a real great way in which this email and that email recipient's inbox is going to stand out and increase the likelihood that it gets open. So a lot of great things going on here with this email from Jeep. And we just wanted to share some additional businesses, companies that we subscribe to and find email inspiration from. So there's certainly plenty of them out there, and there's plenty more that we subscribe to beyond what you see here, but just wanted to share with your audience, Eliana, a few of them that we really like and enjoy.
Okay, so now we're going to finish up by looking at the Apple Watch. And here we want to note the rising popularity of smartwatch devices, and with it an increased reliance to receive communication on such devices, according to this Business Insider Intelligence report, and the projected shipments and forecast up until 2020.
And so really up until now, we've got two ways in which to build an email, a code in email, one of which is simply plain text, the other of which then is HTML. But Apple has actually created a third way in which to build emails, and that's using this text / watch-html. So it's specific code, effectively, that we can use to build emails specifically for the Apple Watch. And this is still kind of a very young and new thing here, but if you want to go ahead and start experimenting and playing with this, Putsmail, P-U-T-S-M-A-I-L, Putsmail, they actually have an Apple Watch email builder, an email builder here to create and build emails specifically for the Apple Watch. And so this is still pretty young and new, but for those that really kind of want to get ahead of the curve and start experimenting and perfecting emails and exactly how they're going to display on an Apple Watch, we'd encourage you to go ahead and really look into this. As Justin was just noting a couple slides ago, that steep rise we're going to start seeing within this sort of wearable technology, Apple Watch and smartwatches in general.
I want to leave you with some key takeaways from today's presentation, the first of which is the importance of having a responsive design within your email templates. It states here 53% of all emails are opened on mobile devices. Remember, it's not a phone, it's a mobile inbox with a phone app. So your mobile design also must carry over from email to website. And then ensuring that the content is personalized and relevant. So personalizing the subject line is good, but adding that relevant and compelling pre-header text with that strong call to action is even better to get them to open it up and engage with you and your dealership and link them over to the website to continue to engage with them further. And according to Campaigner, 82% of folks will not open a message from a center they know if the information is not relevant. And once they've opened that email, to ensure that the messaging is clear and concise. So really knocking down those unattractive walls of text like we shared with you in that one email example that are absolutely brutal to sift through on any mobile device. Also, click-through rates can improve by more than 300% with the addition of video in place of regular graphics. So if you have that video content that's on your dealership website, you're leveraging it elsewhere, it could even be on television or pre-roll, video pre-roll, it's important to carry that over and implement that with your email content to increase engagement and click-through rates.
And then lastly here with the Apple Watch, again, the rise that we expect to see in terms of Apple Watch sales and usage and smartwatches in general, again, exceeding 40 million by 2020, and the fact that Apple has created a distinct way in which to code or build emails specifically for the Apple Watch, and it's Putsmail, P-U-T-S-M-A-I-L, as a source you can go to start building emails specifically for the Apple Watch and start experimenting with that. And we wanted to just go back again earlier in the presentation. We shared with you Litmus, Email, and Acid as Emma as three great email sources. So if you're looking for someone to assist you with your email marketing, Dynamic Beacon as an agency is more than happy to help you. But for those out there that are kind of the, you know, the do-it-yourself, the DIYers out there, we applaud you and still encourage you to look at these three resources, a lot of great content, information, inspiration from these three companies. So please do yourself a favor and subscribe to them. And so really kind of with that, Eliana, we've kind of wrapped everything up. I know you had said there's a ton of questions that are there.
Yeah, there's a lot. A lot of questions here. And audience, if you haven't gotten in your question yet, now's a great time to do that. Send in those questions. We're going to get through them. I usually go in order that they were received. So if you're sending it in right now, you might have a little bit of wait to get your answer, but don't you worry. An answer shall come. We're waiting for your questions now because we're ready to help you with your email marketing campaigns. Before we do that, though, that's right, it's that time. If you missed it at the beginning of the webinar, well, I announced that our amazing friends over at Dynamic Beacon, they're giving away, yeah, a really fabulous prize today. One of your lucky webinar attendees is going to win a 42-millimeter Apple Watch Sport in Space Gray. Boom! This beautifully constructed compact smartwatch comes with fitness software, hundreds of apps, and of course the ability to send and receive calls via an iPhone and so much more. This hottest wearable tech device on the market is valued at $399. It is so cool. And all you have to do is get to your keyboards, get ready, be the first person to write in the correct response to our giveaway question, and you're going to be walking away with this awesome prize today. Now, before we go any further, I have to say, if you're a vendor on this show, we love you vendors and we thank you so much for coming to the Dealer On webinars. This particular prize, however, is intended for dealership personnel only, so we ask you to please sit this one out, and we do really appreciate you being here. All right, everyone, here we go. Good luck. This is not an easy question. I hope you guys were paying attention. According to Blue Hornet, what percentage of customers immediately delete emails when they render poorly on a mobile device? Wow, that's a lot of people voting. I'm pretty sure we have a winner, so hold on. Let me scroll up here and see who it might be. No. Ray Evans. You were the first person to write in, 42%. Congratulations, Ray Evans. Now, that's a name I haven't heard of. So, Ray, write on in. Let me know what dealership you're from. And I also need a mailing address for you, my friend, so we can get this hot 42-millimeter Apple Watch out in space gray, out to you as soon as possible. It's going to be coming directly from your friends over at Dynamic Beacon. So, Ray Evans, congratulations. Write on in. Let me know where you're from and your mailing address. Now, for everyone else, I know we only had one prize today, but don't you worry. You know what? If today wasn't your day, that's okay. We give away cool prizes every week. So come on back to another Dealer On webinar, and who knows, that could be the day you walk away with an awesome prize, all right? So I still haven't heard back from Ray. I don't know what dealership you're from, Ray, but congratulations. You'll be hearing from our friends over at Dynamic Beacon about your prize. Oh, no. I love how other people are writing in their dealership. No. Okay. Oh, here we go. Ray. Ray Evans is from Carlisle GM in Waxahachie, Texas. My goodness, that's a name. Waxahachie. Have you ever been to Waxahachie, Justin?
Never even been to Texas.
Ben? Been to Texas. Okay. That's very cool. Ray, congratulations. I know you're probably high-fiving everyone in there, but don't forget to send me your mailing address. Thank you, everyone, for playing along today. Of course, congratulations to Ray Evans. And we got to thank our good friends over at Dynamic Beacon for their incredible generosity. All right, everyone, here we go. We got lots of great questions to get to. Let's get started. Okay, the first question came in pretty early. Came in from Thomas, and he says, how do you define personalization? For instance, pat@gmail.com, how can you tell if Pat is a 52-year-old married male or a 32-year-old single female? Is this important to personalization?
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably a lot, you know, outside the automotive vertical. And I don't know, should we turn on do we have our video camera on?
We do not.
Yeah, turn on your webcam. That would be great.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just stalling here.
Good job. I didn't know you were stalling.
No, I'm not. Can you see us?
Yes, we can. Looking good. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, if we're defining personalization, especially at kind of outside automotive vertical, right, for a lot of businesses, they've tracked all of your purchases. You've probably registered in some way, perhaps, noting your gender, your date of birth, so they'll know your age, et cetera. Facebook comes to mind immediately just thinking of all of the personal information they have regarding you, so that as marketers we can be hyper-personalized when sending our information or marketing to those individuals. And in the case of the dealership, you know, I haven't come across, or I think we've come across, too many CRMs that have gone that deep in terms of really being able, when campaigning to folks, to be able to segment and target based on those type of items. And so I think when we're talking about personalization, it's I'd say more emphasis perhaps on relevancy. But even as just thinking of personalization in a very literal sense, I know people were noting earlier the difficulty at times in creating subject lines. We'll oftentimes find good success with using that autofill of a first name, comma, and then some sort of a statement or call to action motivating the individual to open that email. So we find personalization even in that way, as well as don't be afraid to include the individual's name as part of the subject line or even the pre-header text.
Ah, okay, Thomas, great question. Thank you so much. And here comes your next question from Gabe. Gabe says, where do you view the results when setting up Google tags? And I think Andrew had the same kind of question. He says, how do you go about setting up the UTM tracking codes? So I think he's talking about the same thing.
So it's pretty easy to set up the UTM tracking codes. If you did a quick Google search for Google UTM tracking codes, that very first link that appears there organically is where you would actually construct the code itself. So it's pretty easy and walks you. Showed a quick screenshot of it, but naming the campaign, the source, and then generating that code is pretty easy. Within Google Analytics, looking within the referral traffic and seeing those tracking codes is plain to see and right there for you as well.
Yeah, so just to be clear, using those Google UTM tracking codes, it creates automatically then for you that code to append to whatever URL that you have. So, you know, I think it starts first with a question mark UTM and then the naming function. It's that link that you'll use within your emails, and then so long as you have Google Analytics, obviously, it's automatically going to report itself within GA for you and use a naming convention based on when you created that UTM code. So it's easy for you to identify.
Ah, okay. So Gabe and Andrew, if you have any follow-up questions about that, please send them on in. We're here to help, all right? Next question comes to you from Joshua. He says, are you talking about coding the email, the landing page, or both regarding UTM tracking codes. And is this viable for specific campaigns as well as CRM frequently used campaigns for follow-up?
So we're talking about coding using responsive design. I assume that's what he's asking. Yes, I mean, every single email campaign that we're sending is using responsive design where there's the incorporation of text and imagery. There are cases where we do have as part of email campaigns we send and also part of our standard unsold and sold follow-up, just simply plain text emails that are intentionally meant to look as if they were personally handwritten or typed by an individual. And those emails actually perform quite well also. But when we're talking about the use of text and imagery, we're always using a responsive design within the emails. And so long as you're partnering with a web provider, then where you either have a responsive web design, like with DealerOn, their Million Technology, you can ensure then that, you know, once they go from inbox to your website, that website experience is going to be a good one, as Justin was noting earlier in the presentation, the importance of that.
Yes. Okay, Joshua, thank you so much for the great question. All right, your next question comes to you from Andrew. And he says, you said the header text is the first X amount of characters in the email. Is that correct? How many characters is that, Justin, Ben?
It's the first 160 characters, that pre-header text.
The pre-header text. Okay. So now we get to Mark and Ray, who both said, where is the pre-header text input box, and what is a pre-header text?
The pre-header text.
That's from Ray and Clara. I apologize.
Sure. So there is no the designated location is before the header, the pre-header text, and it's actually when you're opening the email, if the email body is white, the header text is actually white, so it's visible within the email preview on your smartphone. But when you open it, you're not actually seeing it as a consumer. When you're viewing the email. So it actually becomes invisible because you code it to be, or color code it to be the color of the actual email.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, do you have a picture of one in the slide deck that we could go back to? But I guess you don't if it's invisible.
Yeah, no, I mean, we code it so that, right, it just was noting that it is invisible, so that once the email itself is opened, it's not visible and you know, the email would render just as it normally would without it. So, but it's not to say that that has to be done, that you have to code it so that it's invisible. You could certainly leave it as is. But again, it's going to appear right above the header of the email. So just ensure that it's the first characters, it's the beginning of the body of your email, because that pre-header text, you know, what's previewed there within your inbox, it's just taking whatever those first characters are and placing it there. So make sure it's at the top of the email. If it's not at the beginning of your email, something else will automatically become the quote-unquote pre-header text.
Probably dear customer name. Comment.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that wouldn't be good. All right, Clara and Ray, thank you so much for the great questions. You got another one? Send them on in. All right, Mark says, how and where do you create a pre-header text in a CRM system email template? Ooh, good question, Mark.
So, yeah, again, you're building your email templates. And so it's just building them in such a way that you're able to add it. I'm not sure what CRM you're using. Most CRMs that we're familiar with within the email builder, it to a certain extent almost looks like Microsoft Office to a certain extent. And so, you know, there's not necessarily some designated box per se. I haven't seen a lot of email clients within CRMs that are almost a WYSIWYG editor where you're dropping in a pre-header content box and then typing in content. We think that would be pretty slick. And would encourage CRM providers, if they're in attendance today, to consider either coding or building responsive email templates that dealerships immediately have access to when creating campaigns. I think it would make it a lot easier for us as dealerships. But short of that, again, it's, you know, the onus is on you to build that email and put that pre-header text where it should be above the header at the beginning of the email.
Ah, okay. I'm trying to see if Mark had a follow-up question. No, he didn't. All right, Mark, thank you so much for the great question. Do you think it really depends on which CRM that you have? I mean, do certain CRMs not let you do that, or all CRMs let you do that?
Run into a CRM provider in which we can't build the sort of emails that that we want to build that incorporate pre-header text that allow us to add, you know, video images with video play buttons and do all the sort of things that we want within our emails and the responsive design we want to use. As we were noting earlier, we're now adopting it's called a fluid hybrid design, which does not use media queries, and those media queries are what really tell the email client as well as the device how this email should render. And most CRMs, we found CRM email builders remove those media queries and compromise in some way then the integrity of the email, but that's been resolved with the usage of this fluid hybrid design. So it's something we're really excited and happy about because it then helps to ensure 100% or as close to 100% as possible that the emails we're building, regardless of what CRM it is, that they're going to look great.
Gotcha. You know what? Mark did have a follow-up question for you. He says, if you put a graphic on top of the email, does that affect the pre-header text?
I'm not really sure I understand that question. Just know that the pre-header text are the first characters to the body of an email. So as Justin was noting, let's say your email starts with a header image and then you start with dear customer name, you know, I'm following up with you, dot, dot, dot. It's that dear customer name, I'm following up with you, dot, 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 that becomes the pre-header text. And so what we're saying is craft some relevant, you know, compelling text that you'll put above the header image that will then appear within the inbox and as part of the preview right after the subject line to strengthen that subject line and motivate the person to go ahead and open the email.
Gotcha.
If someone still has questions about pre-header text, they're certainly welcome to email us, or again, also, you know, the Litmus email on ACID and Emma. If you go to any one of their sites and within kind of that search bar, type in pre-header text or look at their blog, et cetera, they're going to have a lot of content and articles surrounding pre-header text that might help further clarify things and probably provide some visuals that at least at this moment we can't.
Okay, no problem. Actually, Mark wrote back in and he says, I got it. Thanks so much, guys. Thank you so much, Mark. All right, next question comes to you from Christine. Christine has been very active today. She says, one of my big challenges is how to account for conversions or sales. Any tips? Right now, we're planning to implement a comparison with the blast list to the DMS emails to see if there are matches. But she goes on to say, I should add to my previous question about tracking sales, that I work in corporate and we own over 90 dealerships, so tracking sales is quite a challenge. Any advice for someone like Christine?
It can also be a challenge for our dealership as well as a single point Toyota store. I mean, clearly when we're sending through the CRM can track down to the sale level the effectiveness of that campaign, which is really nice. If you're sending outside the CRM, it becomes a bit more difficult. However, if you are using the UTM tracking codes and you are connected to Google Analytics and you have your goals set up, you can see goal conversions. But beyond that, it's really hard to then connect the dots and say, all right, well, that person maybe submitted a lead. Can I then account for that in the CRM as well and then track it down at the sale level? I think that's something that if you are sending outside the CRM, it will always be probably forever difficult. But when you are sending within the CRM, it should be pretty straightforward to track down to the sale level, what those conversions look like with that email campaign.
Thank you so much. Christine, thank you so much. You've been so sweet. She's been sending in all kinds of helpful stuff while we were during the show. So thank you so much, Christine. I hope that answers your question. And, yes, she said, yes, we do send outside the CRM. So we have that. Okay, next question. Now, it's the top of the hour right now, and I know this is when everyone starts getting itchy because you know you want to jump off. But you know what? We have more than a dozen questions left. So we're going to power through all of these and try and help as many people as possible. So if you can hang on, please do. We are recording this, and the recording link will be sent to you later on today. Also, if you haven't done so already, feel free to download a copy of today's slide deck in the handout section of your GoToWebinar interface. All right, let's keep going. Next question, guys, comes to you from Anne. She says, can you please expand on Google UTM codes and what information I may receive from that that is different from the metric reporting I normally already get from my third-party email provider? Yeah, what's so cool about these Google UTM codes?
Well, you're able to track the various click-through activity for each of those calls to action within the email template. So you can track the effectiveness if you have an email with service-related content, sales-related content, maybe something parts-related, you're able to see the activity from all profit centers if you're promoting those in one email. And then see once that customer has actually landed on the website, what sort of post-click activity is occurring. So with the various goals that you have set up, reviewing that click, seeing that that person, if they clicked through for service-related content, went ahead and scheduled a service appointment, or maybe even left and were started to look at new car specials or look at your search results pages or vehicle detail pages. It just really gives you complete look at all the activity that's occurring from that one particular email send, that email campaign.
Yeah, so if you're, this third-party email company, you have them send a campaign out for you and they report back and say, hey, great news, we had a 35% open rate and a 15% click rate and minimal unsubscribes, etc. If you go back to that click rate and say, okay, those folks who clicked on the email and went to my website, what happened, chances are if that third-party provider is not using these Google UTM tracking codes, they can't tell you what happened, right, after that person clicked and went to the website. The Google UTM tracking codes, as Justin was just noting, tell you everything you'd want to know.
All right, Anne, thank you for the great question. And, guys, you're doing great. Okay, your next question, I'm not quite sure. I don't understand this question myself. It's a simple question, but I'm going to pose it anyway. It's from Bruce, and he says, how would a customer know there is a video in the email body? So I don't know if he really meant that. What do you guys think?
So we were talking about using that video play button, and so specifically, YouTube, I think we're all familiar with, kind of that YouTube play button. And so adding a play button to that image is definitely going to, signal the fact that this is a video. And you can also add very closely to it a CTA that would include watch, et cetera. So I think that Jeep example that we were looking at a little earlier in the presentation as part of email inspiration had that beautiful landscape image right smack in the center was a play button. It had some text and then another CTA or call to action button that said watch the commercial. So basically a visual and then even a written saying that this is a video. There's a video here that if you click through you're going to be watching a video.
Oh, Bruce just wrote in. He says he expanded on his question. They said, how do they know without opening the email that there is a video in the email body?
That would go back to the using the subject line and the header text to communicate the fact that there's a video within that email.
How would you guys do it? What would you say?
Again, Jessica was noting, I think, having some sort of a call to action as part of the pre-header text. So in the two examples, one was trying to motivate an individual to perhaps trade in their car, so we would use the phrase it now. The other was a scheduling service, so I think it was schedule service now, something along those lines. So it could be watch this video now, check out this video, incorporating that sort of a CTA into the pre-header text would be something that we would recommend.
And probably also would depend on the video content itself.
Yeah.
You know, that would help better personalize that pre-header text if we knew what the video content was, being able to make mention of that, reference that within the pre-header text and or subject line, and then, as Ben's stating, have that CTA as well in the pre-header text.
Yeah, I could think like a subject line, if we're talking about that personalization, the inclusion of an individual's name, it could be, you know, I'm sorry, Eliana, what was this individual's name?
Oh, boy, I lost it.
Bruce? Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Bruce, yes, yeah. It was Bruce. You're right.
Bruce, you'll love this video, or, you know, can't miss this video. I don't know, it's part of like a subject line, just kind of an idea here as, you know, we're kind of talking through this. Could be one way in which to create a subject line that adds an element to personalization, notes that there's a video there. You know, that'd be one way with you could craft a subject line to try to communicate the fact that there's a video and motivate the person to click through the email and watch it.
Especially if it was a follow-up email response, a video response to a lead, where if you did a video walk-around of the vehicle, referencing the vehicle that they inquired on and the mm-hmm. customer name would probably be particularly beneficial and helpful to increase the open rate and the engagement on that email.
Yeah, I like that.
Now, this leads us right into a great question that came in from Joshua. And he says, can you share a few do's and don'ts regarding baking videos into emails?
So kind of the first one would be to, you know, we don't embed the entire video. It's just a video image. It's a static image with a video play button. And so that would certainly be a don't, right? Don't try and embed this entire video. You could find yourself caught up in spam. We want to move that individual anyway from the email over to the website in many ways, where they can further engage with that video, all of the content that's there on the website. But a do would then be to include that sort of video play image to signal the fact that this, by clicking on this image, you're going to be watching the videos. It said, I think it was Wistia said, click-through is improved by over 300% by adding a video play image. So that would be one of the biggest do's, I would say, is you know, really communicating very quickly. Again, it's attention span of 8 seconds, that there's a video here that you're going to enjoy watching. And a video play button is probably the best way in which to do that.
Oh, great. Okay, we do have to hurry up a little bit more with these answers, so we have a lot of questions still. Your next question comes to you from Mick. He says, when doing an email, should you take the same approach that you do when creating a web page, for instance, such as alt image tags and other SEO measures, or is it not necessary?
I would say absolutely take the same measures. We really believe strongly in the continuity of that message. When that recipient opens the email, they then click through to the landing page. We want that experience to be the same and have continuity in the marketing and know that when they land on the landing page, it doesn't feel like they stepped off a sidewalk and, you know, they're not receiving that same experience or seeing that same type of messaging. So, yeah, it's just as important to keep the experience the same.
Yeah, and I just want to note really quickly, I know we're short on time, but that was a great question, excuse me, regarding the image alt text. There's a lot of individuals that by default don't have, you know, that image preview on or automatic display of images, and so instead, right, you're just seeing whatever is that image alt text. So having that labeled properly, individual knows then what type of image that is, so when they enable those images, view those images, you know, they're motivated to do so. So that's a great question and a great point to label the image alt text properly. So it does.
Good job, Mick. I like that question. And we have another great question that came in from Andrew. He says, my CRM suggests limited use of pictures and videos and the such, so that it limits the number of links in the email. Per them, these links trigger emails that go into spam. What are your thoughts on that? So Justin and Ben, is there like a maximum number of links, or is there a limit to the amount of links that you would put in an email?
We found CRM systems to have these spam assessment scores to be very inaccurate, and a lot of the testing that we do is certainly inside the CRM and outside as well, with the Litmus email tool, building that email, installing that HTML within the CRM, and doing testing on various email clients before we send. I think that's what we'd recommend first and foremost, is just to be testing these, but we found the CRM, you know, spam assessment score and what the CRM is telling us to not always be accurate, and really we need to do our own testing with each and every email campaign.
What's your magic number? I mean, would you say, hey, no more than 3 or 6 or what?
We've included 3, 6 images, 7 images. I don't know if there is a magic number. There certainly becomes a point where we don't want to make the email too busy and too cluttered, but we haven't really had any issues having up to 7 or 8 images in a particular email. We've never experienced any issues with sending or receiving those emails.
Yeah, I mean, if we were noting a lot of email inspiration, emails we liked, it was using a lot of imagery, right?
Yep.
Minimal text, video play buttons with Jeep. I'd probably be challenging, frankly, my CRM company. I'd probably be sending to them emails from pretty large e-retailers, Amazon, Walmart, kind of you name it. I'd be forwarding email to that CRM company where I'm getting emails in my inbox that have a lot of imagery, et cetera, and say, you know, what do you know that they don't? Why are these guys doing this and you're suggesting I don't do this? And they're one of the, you know, Amazon, one of the largest e-retailers in the world.
I agree. Okay, Andrew wrote back and he says, good answer. Thanks. Thanks for a great question, Andrew. I appreciate it. Okay, your next question comes to you from Dara. Dara's been waiting very patiently for this. She says, where is a good place to learn more about building the hybrid design emails?
Us.
I don't know why I didn't think about that. Dara, dynamic beacon.
Email on Acid was, we'll have more on the fluid hybrid design as well. And if she does want some of those links as well, she could email us and we're happy to forward her kind of the specific content that talks more about the fluid hybrid design.
Oh, okay, wonderful.
If she can't find it herself for any reason.
And I don't know if you can tell, Dara, but seriously, Justin and Ben are like the sweetest, nicest guys you'll ever find. So if you want more help, you can always turn to them. Their phone number and emails are right there on the screen. I would highly suggest you take advantage of that. Dara says, I ask because I code our emails myself. Go on, girl.
Definitely. That's great. If she has trouble kind of Google searching for that information, she's welcome to email us and we'll be happy to send it over.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for that. All right, Dara, thank you so much. Have a great day. All right, next one comes in from Christine. She says, I am so glad that Justin pronounces GIFs correctly. Is it GIF? Am I pronouncing it wrong? GIFs? GIFs? Which is it?
I say animated GIF, but I've certainly heard animated GIF, but I've always said GIF, and that's what I've heard most, so that's why I choose it.
I say GIF for spite.
He's spiteful, Ben. All right, here we go. Christine, thank you so much for that. All right, let's see. Next question. Let's go to Carlos. He says, what's the best content for a successful why buy video? Sales, awards, service, or all of the above? Correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen. Didn't we do a webinar on why buy videos?
We did. Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. Carlos, they're going to answer your question in just a second, but I just want you to know we did an entire hour-long webinar on that very subject. So if you go to dealeron.com/webinar and click on the link on the right-hand side for on-demand webinars, check out any webinars that these two gentlemen have done, and one of them is specifically about how to make yourself a why buy video. But Justin and Ben, do you have a quick answer for Carlos?
So the quick answer would be to incorporate in that video the consumer benefits. Make it maybe a little bit less about the dealership, how many years you've won that particular award, and more about what that consumer benefit is. What does that mean to the customer, that value proposition? So what's in it for them? And if you go to Stadium Toyota's website, if you go to Acton Toyota's website, you'll see similar why-buy videos that are animated that talk about, you know, the price that's agreed upon at the dealership is not going to change, and that you'll see the sort of content that's included in there. There's a minute-long version of that why-buy video. We also have 30-second-long versions that we've used on video pre-roll and TV.
Thank you so much. Okay, we're into the last couple of questions, so let's get to those really fast. Jesse has kind of the same question that Ray does. He says, I am still not understanding where to put in my pre-header text. And Ray says, so do you have to go into the HTML and place the pre-header text above the header tag? Like, actually, where do you put it?
Yeah, I mean, it's physically going to be above the header image. Yes, it's going to go above. It's going to go above that header image.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jesse, Ray, thank you so very much. Okay. Next question. Last question from Christine. She says, "What are your thoughts about moving all the email marketing, autoresponders, workflows, etc., from the CRM to an email service provider like Campaigner or Marketo?" That's from Christine.
I mean, I think the biggest reservation I would have, and Jessica was noting this earlier with the email broadcasts and trying to track sales associated with that email campaign or broadcast, is that if you're removing all of that correspondence outside of the CRM, biggest reservation is now it's not going to be attached in any way to the customer record. And it's not, those sort of emails then aren't viewable, presumably at least the sales team, if they're in the CRM looking at the customer record, they can't see that sort of email communication history that's there, the automated stuff. Second, I'd be concerned about what sort of integration is there between the CRM and that other email platform. So, for instance, we know with a lot of the unsold and sold follow-up as well, it's action-based, right? The sort of correspondence, the follow-up that occurs when somebody first inquires versus when they visit the dealership or make an appointment or visit and don't purchase, all of that correspondence is very different and relevant based on where they're at in the buying cycle or purchase funnel. And so I'd be afraid you'd probably lose a lot of those triggers and personalization within the email if you're now sending from a separate platform. So that'd be two of my biggest reservations, I would say, in doing that.
Yeah, Christine wrote back in. She says, thank you. All good points. Appreciate it. All right, last comment comes in from Matt. He says, by the way, cool tidbit about the Apple Watch email support. Very cool. Thank you very much. And, oh, we got one more in from Joshua. It says, it sounds like you don't have a major spam filter worry about the CRM-originated emails. Is that true, Justin and Ben?
I think the biggest maybe reservations we have is, you know, with that CRM provider, I don't think it's so much the email itself, you know, so long as you're building an email properly. It's just sometimes we've found maybe with a CRM provider in some way, maybe, you know, that CRM, it getting flagged in some way, especially if you're using one CRM provider, there's a number of other dealerships that are obviously using that same CRM. If you have dealerships that are engaging in some pretty spammy practices and now things are getting flagged that way, or if maybe the email address that you're sending from in some way has been consistently marked as spam, you can have some issues there.
Right.
So those are the things I'd be more concerned about versus just the email itself and what it looks like in terms of potentially getting marked or flagged as spam.
Yeah, and just as a side note, Ray wrote back in and he says, What I do is I build the email in a third party and then I cut and paste the HTML into the CRM. So he kind of gets the best of both worlds, you know. Oh, they like that idea, Ray. All right. All right, we have to close this out. Justin and Ben, always, always a great show when you guys are on. You put out so much great content. I really appreciate it. And I hope I get to see you guys soon, maybe at NADA or something like that. But I look forward to doing another webinar with you in the near future. Thank you so much, guys. You're great.
All right, thank you, Eliana. I really appreciate being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Oh, Ray agrees. He says, fabulous webinar. I want to remind the audience a link to download a copy of this webinar recording is going to be emailed to you later today for your reference. Feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. Today's webinar is also going to be posted online within 24 hours. So go to dealeron.com/webinars, and from there, you can view our upcoming webinar schedule or access any of our past webinars. And this webinar is going to conclude in just a moment. When it does, you're going to get a short survey. Really short, 6 questions. Please fill it out. We want to know what you thought of today's presentation. Did you love what Justin and Ben had to say? Well, the only way we would find out is if you fill out that survey. So please do that. We're going to randomly select a couple of people from all the completed surveys to also win some Google prizes. And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next DealerOn webinar, The Secrets to Winning the Online Reputation Game. Do you need help with your online reputation? More than likely, the answer to that question is probably a yes. It's no surprise that businesses that have a strong, robust online reputation have improved their traffic, customer loyalty, branding, sales, and service. What is surprising is the number of dealerships that don't take their online reputation more seriously. After all, just a 1-star increase in a Yelp rating leads to a 5-9% increase in revenue. That means if you have a 3-star Yelp rating and an annual revenue of $1 million, a 1-star increase can bring in an extra $50,000 to $90,000 more a year. So basically, more stars sell more cars. So it's okay, you can admit it, you need help with your online reputation. Most dealerships do. Whether you have an online reputation problem that needs fixing, an online reputation that could use a boost, or no online reputation at all, everyone can benefit from this insightful 1-hour webinar. If you want to learn all the secrets to winning the online reputation game, you can't afford to miss this DealerOn webinar. So register now. Don't forget, DealerOn's weekly webinars are held Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. And my name is Eliana Raggio, and I love hearing from you. So if you have something to say about our webinars and our topics, contact me directly. You can reach me on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, or any of the automotive social networks, or just track me down online and email me at Eliana at